Okay, so we'll start. As I said, Sri Aurobindo is describing to us in great detail every little strand, because this is a question which has never been answered, never been even taken up seriously. Even all the traditional yogas, they say this world is created by mind and then there is the divine. There is no link between them. You can, by meditation, enter into that world. Or they say an inexplicable maya, or call it mind, or call it kal, you call it whatever it means. It leaves a big gap in understanding. So Sri Aurobindo is going at great detail to explain this. And now he is going to describe that last operation of the supermind by which it enters into this world. So what is that last operation? In the passage we had read, and he says that the apprehending consciousness on page 175, this apprehending consciousness, the pragya, which is the last layer of the supermind. You have these three layers: the comprehending, the representative, and then the apprehending consciousness. Apprehension is going forward. That's why we use the word apprehending. You are almost going toward the future. So in this apprehending consciousness, what is done is that this pragya, pragya is a word from our Indian thought, pragya, then Hiranyagarbha, and then we have the Virat. But we'll not go into that. So basically, it is the divine holds the creation right in front of it before setting it free, releasing it into the adventure of time and space. It's like the poet holds before itself. Now you see, this objectivization has started. Okay, fine, releases it. And the Gita describes with one very interesting line. Sri Krishna says, karma visarga, I am the one who has released karma, the energy of karma into creation. Once it goes, then it has its own journey. Like when Sri Aurobindo, somebody asked Sri Aurobindo, sir, what have you written? I am unable to decipher. So Sri Aurobindo says, if you cannot decipher, I am less likely to decipher. You want me to read my own handwriting? Now you see, in his consciousness, at that point of time, if one were to ask him, sir, what are you writing? Instantly he would say, this what? The word is this. But I am taking the joy of the play. But later on, what have I written? Because that's a state in which the two are one. Now it is released after 10 days, 15 days. You come back and ask, it's so difficult. Or you take that story in that film, the famous dialogue, Ja Simran Jile Apni Zindagi. Last moment, father is holding the daughter near. He wants forever that daughter should stay with him, stay near him. But if he does that, the daughter will never grow. She has to be set free. Boys also, they have to be set free. But boys' problem is they snatch the freedom. But girls also, they have to be set free. It's an adventure. Otherwise, they will never become. They'll always remain daughter's, father's daughter. But that's not a good identity, to be father's daughter or husband's wife or so and so. You should discover yourself. All these identities are there. They are sub-identities. It's not that they have to be cancelled in the supramental vision. But you discover, so the adventure of time and space. So imagine this daughter going away and the father never forgets. But the daughter is made to forget. For a time, because if she is all the time, she will never develop and grow. Something very similar happens. There is the divine mind where both are held together. The father and the daughter know each other perfectly. This is the perfect bond. And then she enters. The father never forgets, but the daughter is made as if to forget. This is as if. She never fully forgets. Even when you see, I've seen where people apparently have forgotten, there is even clash, misunderstanding. But when there is the departure, or death, call it, there is no death. You see, all that was held back inside comes out. But that bond is never gone. One small example. And there's such fantastic stories. One happened, I just share it. How this avidya and vidya acts. Self-forgetfulness and the deeper sense. So I was a witness, right? I was coming out of the ashram. And as I came on the turning, I saw a luna being hit by a car from the other side. And then the lady fell and, you know, I rushed. Many people rushed. We put her in the auto rickshaw, called, all that happened. But she was uttering a name. It's as if calling someone. So I presumed, whatever I presumed, whom do you call in that state when you are in that crisis? You call the intimate person. And then she is in the hospital, and then somebody rang me up to thank that. I didn't know who she is, and later on the story went around and somebody called me up, thank you so much, you were instrumental in this. Then I said, by the way, you are so and so, because he is her husband. So I asked her, are you so and so? He says, no. I said, no. She was calling someone. Said, he is her ex. And you see the paradox. I suddenly kept quiet. Thankfully, I didn't say that she was calling. I just said, are you so and so? He says, no. I said, who is so and so? He is her ex. I said, thank God. I did say that in that half comatose state she was calling him. See, the subconscious mind and deep in the subliminal, there are things which remain forever. But outwardly, as if we have forgotten. That is called avidya. We behave as if the divine is not there, as if there is no divine inside. But when we are in difficulty, famous case recently, Dawkins, he embraced Christianity and avowed atheist and strongly would attack everything that has to do with his idea of divine was Christian divine. Not he didn't know about Sanatana Dharma. Anyway, so at the end, latest thing was that, you know, he has embraced Christianity. Somebody asked him that how come? He said, see, I've been having so many problems. I developed now this pain, that pain. Somebody said, you go to Lourdes Spring and you take a dip and you'll be cured. What do you do at some point of time? You are pushed against the wall. And then you, are it theek hai yaar, kya farak padta hai? So that, you know, so divine is always there. Opening a door here, opening a door there, trying to call us through all the challenges of life. We open and then shut again because he said, this person helped me. Again he comes in another person, this person has helped me. But actually it is the divine who is inspiring. So this is how the game goes on of vidya, avidya. And so that's why he uses the word on page 177 as if. Page 177. Thus the deep easing is already there. The relation of form with form as if they were separate beings. It has been formed in the mind of the cosmic poet. That's why Sri Ramakrishna said half jokingly, yes, God laughs when he has decided that the couple would separate, but the lawyer says, no, I'll bring you together. Or when he has decided that he will draw the child back, but the doctor said, I'm going to save him. But the doctor has to feel like that. That's how they have to grow. So this is how, this is not every example has this problem. That caught wrongly, one would say, so doctor should say, jaisa Bhagwan chahenge, waisa hoga. I don't have a role anyways. This is the problem. The same problem of effort and grace. Oh, everything is done by the Divine Mother, so I have to do nothing. This is the standpoint. Either or. Or if everything has to be done by my effort, then where is grace? But grace is making you do the effort. You will be compelled to do the effort. Even if you deny it in some part, you will still go through what you have to go through. That's why when it is said, Hoi hai soi jo Ram rachi rakha, ko kari tark badhavai shaka. It's not simply that everything happens according to God's will. You have a will, you have been given. It is part, even if you deny it, you will be compelled to act in this way. How much ever we may believe God is doing everything. So this is how the story goes. So she says, D.P. Singh, of will of being with will of being as if they were separate forces, of knowledge of being with knowledge of being as if they were separate consciousnesses, has already been founded. When this apprehending consciousness objectivizes, world is God objectivizing himself. It is as yet only as if, for the divine soul is not deluded. It is aware of all its phenomena of being and keeps hold of its existence. Like cricketers when they play. We are fighting. We feel depressed. They after the play, after that say, okay, where is the party? They are there. Even politicians do that, by the way. After the whole thing is over, people are crying, making videos, YouTube. They are going to the same parliament all together. Hand in gloves. Where to say yes, where to say no, and yet outwardly it is fight. Not that this is a good example of Vidya, Avidya. But that's how it is. That there is a state in which the two are held together. And then it is made to forget. As if. When it is made to forget, then it is my knowledge versus your knowledge. My consciousness versus your consciousness. My standpoint versus your standpoint. And then because of the body, the ignorance is completely strengthened, because my now becomes this me. And this me is, whatever is there in it is the ultimate, this me. So you see, it is a strange thing how creation is created symbolically. Man cannot look at his own face and his own eyes. Strange. To do that, he has to look into a mirror. Something very interesting. He can look at other things. He cannot look behind. If you look into this thing, we will understand a whole gospel of what man is and why he has been created. So he is made to forget who he is. Next paragraph. A new factor, a new action of conscious force is therefore needed to create the operation of a helplessly limited as opposed to a freely limiting mind. That is to say, of mind subject to its own play and deceived by it, as opposed to mind master of its own play and viewing it in its truth, the creature mind as opposed to the divine. That new factor is avidya, the self-ignoring faculty which separates the action of mind from the action of the supermind that originated and still governs it from behind the veil. This is what happens. And then slowly you go through a whole line of experience. I got into FMC. My father had gone to drop me and we are all full of dream of becoming a doctor and all this. Suddenly some senior comes and says, come into this room very nicely. And I went there, such nice people. And there the ragging started. And I was totally taken aback. What's happening? So it took time to understand, get the bearings. And everybody is laughing, mocking. And then, okay, go out. So when I came out, my father said, what happened? Nice people. No, I said, very nice people. What could I tell him? And then again, after some time of this nice people and very nice people, again we become friends. Then you realize all this is part of the play. So see, this is how the evolution proceeds. So there is a knowledge which understands both, and there is where you have to go through a particular line of experience to develop into what you have to develop. Supposing I said that no, I can't be here. Then I have to forego the development into a doctor which has been forcing. So I have to go through the challenge. So this is how creation proceeds. And then few lines below. There is no real division, but only an infinitely multiple concentration into forms of being and into arrangements of the relation of those forms of being to each other, in which division is a subordinate appearance of the whole process necessary to their spatial and temporal play. This is what is Rith. So there is an apparent division needed for the play where everything seems disconnected, separate from each other. But are we really separate? Can anybody ever say that he is separated from the rest? Even if we take humanly, I am connected at least to Even if I live alone to those people who I have to buy food or pick up food from someone, somewhere, everything. So I'm connected. Now these people are connected to other people. And these other people to still other people. And therefore the whole earth, and the earth is connected to the entire material universe, and the material universe ultimately to the divine. That's what is meant when Sri Krishna takes that little grain of rice and says, I am tripped. And Durvasa Rishi is full there, because that is the consciousness that everything is interconnected. A grain of rice is connected with the whole universe. And there is a whole sequence through which it has to go through before it reaches my plate. And that's why the idea of offering it to the divine, because it has come through all this complex process. By this we can go back to that original consciousness. Next page, 179. How this avidya operates. It proceeds, 178, last three lines. It proceeds from the individualized soul viewing everything from its own standpoint and excluding all others. It proceeds, that is to say, by an exclusive concentration of consciousness and exclusive self-identification of the soul with a particular temporal and spatial action, which is only a part of its own play of being. It starts from the soul's ignoring the fact that all others are also itself. All other action, its own action, and all other states of being and consciousness, equally its own as well. It's mind-boggling. Mind cannot literally conceive it. It may try one day and mess up very badly. Because if it tries, it loses hold of what it is supposed to do. It will end up saying, yes, 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 there is no difference between you, my child, and me, the father. I don't need to tell you anything. Everything is fine. Or a teacher saying, all knowledge is inside you. It is true. Yet it has to come out. And the teacher is a catalyst in that process. So this is where the challenge lies. We take one extreme. It concentrates on the moment, the field, the form, the movement, so as to lose the rest. It has then to recover the rest by linking together the succession of moments, the succession of points of space, the succession of forms in time and space, the succession of movements in time and space. So it's in psychotherapy, I sometimes use it. Here it works very well. So when somebody in old age is going through a very difficult time, so sometime when one is suffering and life offers struggles, I sometimes ask, I said, tell me how you came here. You see, the whole face changes. And then some of them describe, when they're describing when they had the first darshan of the mother, you see it beaming. Actually they forget that, you know, I have this pain, originally complained, and my task is easier. I say, it's so beautiful, no? We should live with those moments which are beautifully connected. So if we look at our life here, we may say when we are going through it, error, pain, suffering. But at the end of the day, if all this has brought us here, it was all worth it. That's how we have to look at it. And that's why error is justified of our children. Truth understands it, that you have to go through. Then it's worth it. We want to cut off the possibility of error. It means we want to cut off the possibility of truth. We want to impose a viewpoint from here upon somebody who is not yet ready. Then that means we are creating copies. And copies are not what divine wants. He wants each flower to be unique in his garden. And that's a common mistake we all do. Our own standpoint. And that's why sometimes good to remind the father when he says, look at my child, he's making so many mistakes. Just to ask, oh, you never must have never made any. Then there is a word in Hindi, jhep jana. Suddenly, that's how life is. He has to make his own mistakes, his own quota of mistakes. We call them mistakes. Mother at one place says, there are no mistakes in the eyes of the Lord. Because it's a part of the journey. But the divine understands. So he never leaves. That's the divine mind always behind, knowing that the fellow is straying away. So he says, okay, let him stray. One day he will stray into the ashram. One day he will stray into some Shurvindu Bhavan. And then I will catch him. I have chosen this moment. You are thinking that one day God will meet me in some ashram and I'll sit together and, you know, he will teach me, initiate me. Because that's what one has heard. And you are straying one day casually and God says, now is the moment I have chosen with you. What is the moment? In the heat of Connaught Place, I'll pull you inside a bookshop and I'll catch you by your choti. Why? It's his delight. With everyone, he will do it differently. So that is why this world has been made. But we don't understand how this happened. So this is what the mother is, Shobhindra is describing. So these truths which mind has forgotten, last few lines on this passage, these truths mind has to rediscover. It knows them all the time, but only in the hidden back of its consciousness. And last two lines on this page, this ignorance is further deepened for man by his self-identification with the body. To us, mind seems to be determined by the body. What to do? This brain which has been given to me, I am a limited creature. Yet always the true knowledge tells us that the unlimited, the limitless and the limited is always together. That is the difference. Mata Sita goes through us apparently helpless state. If somebody would have asked her, we believe you are the divine mother. Why you are going through? She would have said, don't disclose the whole thing now. That's what we see Shiva and Parvati parallel dialogue going on. Parvati is asking, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Oh, Ravan has taken away Sita. Oh, poor Ram is going to cry because he has taken the standpoint of Prakriti. So Shiva says, wait. Don't be so impatient. But see, this is what is happening. But she is the divine mother, no? She says, yes. Last he reveals, you know the real thing. Out of love for Ravan, she had gone. Why out of love? Because she knew all the time he is Jai Vijay. Fallen fellows. So Ravan has come all the way. She has gone all the way. All this is happening. Hanuman has to develop. All these characters have to develop each in his own way. So this is the problem that in so many ways. So with the body it is identified. Because it is, and that's why we see when one place Ravan threatens her, he is about to take out the Chandrahas. And Chandrahas is Shiva's sword. Once it is released, it will kill. What does Sitaji do? She picks up a trina, blade of grass. He says, Ravan, see, I am being very decent. Doesn't say in so many words. He says, just remember, don't cross this line. What is the line with a blade of grass? What he sees, what he remembers, he steps back. This is the knowledge that even from any finite can become a moment to invoke the infinite. It could be a stone, a blade of grass, it could be a tree, it could be anything, sky, within anything, because all finite contains the infinite. But we are hypnotized by the appearance. That's why some use the stones to throw and kill. Some use the stones to worship and commune with God. That is the difference of cultures. So this is where we see that this corporeal mentality is merely our surface of mind, somewhere in the middle of page 180, merely the front which it presents to physical appearance. So, but behind this corporeal mind, there is an inner mind which comprehends it, vaguely understand. In certain moments it can step forward and change the fixed course of things. But then corporeal mind is stuck to the body and the senses. It believes the apparent fact. It says seeing is believing. The inner mind says no, no, no. So there is another mind, the vital mind. Vital mind brings its imaginations, fantasies. So what does it do? Even when somebody is trying to hurt you and everybody is saying, look, this person is like this, vital mind, no, no. Very nice. Because it is living in its fancies. That's why it is said that when people love, they don't love the person, they love, they project their own image of an ideal state onto that person. Not that there is anything wrong about it, but just to understand that you have not loved the person. That's why you feel heartbroken, because you have projected your image. So vital mind does this all the time. It believes just as I am, the other person is also like me. It's a common error. You are seeing things, yet corporeal mind is showing us, but it says no, no, no. Why? Because you believe that the other person is also behaving this way because of this purpose. Because that's how you would act. So this is the vital mind. And then there is the third mind, page 181, a clearer reflective mentality. So this mind begins to become the pure thinker. It is the source of the pure thinker. So what it does, it says, no, 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 I'll not go by appearances. Also, I'll not go by imaginations, fantasies. Let me reflect, understand, analyze. So it begins to see things very impartially and begins to reflect within to discover. But it also feels. So, but this is the highest, the source of the pure thinker in us. It is that which knows mentality in itself and sees the world not in terms of life and body, but of mind. It is that which, when we get back to it, we sometimes mistake for the pure spirit as we mistake the dynamic mind for the soul. So corporeal mind, dynamic mind, which is the vital mind, the reflective mentality. For example, if there is a tragedy, the corporeal mind will say, ah, that person is suffering, there is such a tragedy. The vital mind will bring up its own fantasy. He did like this, see, that's why he is suffering. Or things of various fanciful imagination. What will the reflective mind say? Suffering is the nature of life upon earth. It is not just he suffering. So it looks as if it is in contact with the spirit. That's how life is here. But the reflective mind must go deeper and understand why it is the way it is and what is the perfect solution. Where is that idealism? Where is that fire that life should be perfect? That it cannot do. At best, it can take a very impersonal standpoint. Its end point is impersonality. So he says, few lines below, this higher mind is able to perceive and deal with other souls as other forms of its pure self. It is capable of sensing them by pure mental impact and communication, and no longer only by vital and nervous impact and physical indication. So it's able to see people who live together. Sometimes they are able to understand each other, but they have to go through the corporeal mind and the dynamic mind's processes, where imaginations, fantasies, physical scenes, all these come. Then they begin to understand each other. They know if the person is angry, probably he is hungry. Or if the person is too quiet, maybe he is just being contemplative. This is how understanding comes. This mind is capable of entering into it, and there can be a deeper understanding which can come. So it can conceive, like it conceives to a mental figure of unity. And in its activity and its will, it can create and possess more directly, not only indirectly, as in the ordinary physical life, and in other minds and lives as well as its own. But still, even this pure mentality does not escape from the original error of mind. For it is still its separate mental self which it takes the judge, witness and center of the universe, and through it alone strives to arrive at its own higher self and reality. All others are others grouped to it around itself. That's the problem. In its highest pride, it says, sab Allah ke bande hain, sab Bhagwan ke bande hain, Hindu, Muslim, bhai bhai. Then he says, but you know, their habits we don't like. Their this I don't like. So at the end, it is all in the mind. You cannot create a real unity because the mind is unable to understand this whole complex process. So, still the veil created by avidya between the mental and supramental action and image of the truth gets through, not the truth itself. This is an image. All of us are brothers and sisters. But the mind still is seeing from its own standpoint. And sometimes it can get hit very badly and then it doesn't understand. It becomes a cynic. It starts not believing that unity is ever possible. No, unity is possible, but it cannot be based as long as I am in avidya. Unless ignorance is gone, there can be no real unity. That's how Shivabindu says, apostles of peace must be there, but peace is denied to man unless he has paid the debt to Rudra. The law of Vishnu cannot prevail. What is the debt to Rudra? Rudra forces of division has first shaped this earth. You have to pay the debt, you have to build through this, reach that point. So in a way, when we see that there is in this world a mental idea of unity, wanting to create unity, it's a good thought, but you cannot create it on that basis. You have to evolve, you have to take to the spiritual life, you have to go beyond the veil, tear the veil of ignorance, then understand each one's law, that also not tear and go into Sachidananda, but the supramental evolution. Then one understands that yes, the one and the differences within the one. One understands the differentiation, the stage and everything. That's too a prolonged process. But the time has come for that. Okay, we'll read one last little paragraph. Page 183. The fundamental error of the mind is then this fall from self-knowledge by which the individual soul conceives of its individuality as a separate fact instead of as a form of oneness and makes itself the center of its own universe instead of knowing itself as one concentration of the universal. Differentiation is there in supermind. The mind turns it into division. This is the difference. In the supermind, there is differentiation. Each is a mode of working. And differentiation creates variety and diversity. Division creates enmity and fight and struggle. So differentiation is important. We want to blur it and create unity. That's uniformity. But division is not the way. But we have to go through this before we reach this point. From that original error, all its particular ignorances and limitations are contingent results. For viewing the flux of things only as it flows upon and through itself, it makes a limitation of being from which proceeds a limitation of consciousness and therefore of knowledge, a limitation of conscious force and will and therefore of power, a limitation of self-enjoyment and therefore of delight. The universe is flowing through the individual. For that state, certain experiences are necessary. Based on that, somebody says, but in my life, I have experienced this. Therefore, this is the truth of things. Your life is one fraction. Your experience is one fraction. You may read one book of an author or watch one movie or meet a human being in a particular set of circumstances, but that's not the totality. So when we see life in its totality, going through millenniums and trillenniums, then we are compelled to say we have progressed. But when we see only the bachcha in front of me, then what do we say? Oh, these children, kitna bigad gaye? Where is supramental? As if we were very sadhu bachcha. Just that parents never came to know. We were just smart kids at one level. These kids are open kids. They are not smart. They don't need to hide. They tell you. So they are in one sense more honest. And what was before that we need not discuss. Because we are seeing only one little fraction. But if we see last 100 years, Then we will understand how the world has progressed. Because people often ask, supramental manifestation, what is there? We are still seeing all these things. Yes, but look at what would have happened 100 years back and look at what is happening today. At every level, and you'll see there is a progress. Look at what would have happened 500 years back. When during sport, people were asked to kill each other. And the crowd decided by putting a thumbs down or thumbs up. But today, at the most, you cry for the medal. There is something which happens. But we don't, wrestling is not killing sport. But that's how it was sometime back. So we have to see things in that perspective. But we have a very small standpoint. So Shubhendra is reminding us. And that's how the defect of will. We think this is my will, limited will. That's why Mother says, you think you cannot realize because you are hypnotized by yourself. Mother, I know myself, I cannot do it. And the Divine Mother tells us, she says that people who believe they have difficulty which cannot be solved, they are unfit. It's because they are hypnotized by their difficulties and they don't have faith in grace. But if we think of grace and when we see through the long journey, we understand, oh my God, so much change has come. Yes, certain people will hold on to your past and you are always that person who was 20 years back. As if you have never grown. Then you are a stone. You never were a human being. But human beings grow, they progress every day. That's how it should be. And then the last, yet is all ignorance and all perversity only the distortion of the truth and right of things and not the play of an absolute falsehood. Why this is important? Because this world is not illusion. It's not mithya. It is a distortion. Distortion can be rectified. That's how Isha Upanishad says. Agni nay supatharaye. And it is described as making the crooked straight. So crooked is what? This paper. We can crumple it. So does the paper exist? It exists. You can straighten it. But if you say actually you know there is no paper, then you can do nothing out of it. Sorry. I didn't know. This is not an advertisement. Blank paper. That's how life is. There is a distortion. Now why distortion happens, all that he will explain later on. In great detail. As I said, Shubhendu is step by step. Like first he is teaching us basic mathematics, arithmetic, then higher mathematics, then trigonometry. That's how he is taking us, step by step. That's why life divine is so enjoyable. He is not simply saying it's all ignorance, get free of ignorance and you know. Then it doesn't really, there is no joy in that. So, if it gets back to the truth from which it fell, it becomes again the final action of the truth consciousness in its apprehensive operation. So he's not saying if it gets back from the ignorance, it enters into the one Sachidananda. It says it can get back to the apprehensive consciousness of the truth consciousness. Meaning thereby, what is the original divine intention in me and in creation and in everyone? That's how, because apprehending consciousness means pragya, the supermind has now decided this is the real idea. This is what you are going to become. So when we realize this is what is the will in me, then I can align my will to the divine will. But if all has to be annulled, then there is no question of aligning my will because it's an illusion. I have to find a way, maybe by meditation or by whatever means, steer the will and entering into one. So this is where the difference lies. Last passage. If it gets back to the truth from which it fell, it becomes again the final action of the truth consciousness in its apprehensive operation. And the relations it helps to create in that light and power will be relations of the truth and not of the perversity. So ordinarily we say you have to abandon all relations. But here, now the relations will be in the light of truth. See, we can get that glimpse within the ashram setting. We go through every humanly possible thing. But at the end of the day, we are all mother's children. See, the saving grace is there behind. At least it should be like that. Because we are all mother's children. So that's the overarching truth behind. And within that larger truth, we go through what we go through. So this is where that there is this perversity, it can be straightened. Perversity is when we fight. You spoke to me like this, I spoke like this, so on. But the moment you remember, okay, that person is also mother's child, it changes. Or if the other person fortunately thinks she is also mother's child, struggling like myself, so what happens? Automatically, life changes. So what will happen? They will be the straight things and not the crooked. To use the expressive distinction of the Vedic rishis, truths, that is to say, of divine being with its self-possession, consciousness, will and delight, moving harmoniously in itself. Now we have rather the warped and zigzag movement of mind and life, the contortions created by the struggle of the soul, once grown oblivious of its true being, to find itself again, to resolve back all error into the truth, which both our truth and our error, our right and our wrong, limit or distort. This is what is important. We don't have to throw away anything. We have to throw away the falsehood that is intertwined around it. And then we'll see the same thing becomes very beautiful. And this is the challenge given to man. Discarding people is very easy. Throwing them away is very easy. But to change that thing into truth, first within us, don't try to change other person's error into truth. But my own error, my false relation, my wrong relation, I can change into truth. Other person, well, that's the divine mystery. Maybe if you change, something may change in the other person. Not necessarily, because each one has their own evolutionary stages. But you would have corrected the distortion. You would have changed the crookedness into truth. That's what is important. Straightened it up. This happens when we look at things over a long period of time. Like one lady who after 30 years told me, "Today I have made a great discovery. I want to tell you." So many people know I can mention because now nobody from the family is there. So anyways, she was a Russian dancer and stage artist. Then she came here. Her two sons also came here. And one day she was very fond of me. At some point of time, every week once I'll go there. She used to like. And one day she said, "You come, I am to discuss. I have to tell you something very beautiful, very interesting." So I thought today she'll say some problem or the other. I said, "What's so interesting?" She said, "You know, I have forgiven my husband today after 30 years. I said, "Okay, I didn't even know you are holding a grudge. I didn't know you had a husband because you had children. But I didn't know of anything. I never asked." But I was curious. I said, "How come?" "I realized what is written in the Gita. What is that phrase, like a wheel?" So I said, "Yantra Arunini Maya." He said, "Yes, yes, yes, I realized. Everybody like a fly in the wheel is caught." He was also caught like a fly in the wheel. It's not his fault. I said, "What a wonderful way of realizing." The man was gone, but he must have been found peace. That he's caught in the wheel of avidya. So what can you blame? You can't blame anybody. You can't even blame yourself nor anyone. If you have to blame avidya, no, that also served a purpose. So you have to find how through avidya we go into vidya and join the two. Avidyancha mityum ti. What is that phrase in Ishopanishad? Vidyancha avidyancha yasta dvedo bhayam saha. Avidyancha mrityum tirtva. There is a knowledge which comes through ignorance, avidya. You go beyond death, moving through avidya. Avidyancha mrityum tirtva. Vidyancha amritam mashnute. And vidya opens for you the doors of immortality. So how a man should be? Vidyancha avidyancha yasta dvedo bhayam saha. Finite and the infinite together. This is only possible with the supermind. We have hints and glimpses. Otherwise, we have a choice between a world of falsehood and ignorance or the one in whom we can escape. But those of us all in capacity into into the strength which both our power and our weakness are a struggle of force to grasp. That's why the Divine Mother's touch can change our weakness into unfaltering strength. She has that secret. All suffering into the delight which both our joy and our pain are a convulsing effort of sensation to realize. When we look back and see our mistakes, we laugh. Acha, I was really that fool. Yes, everybody was telling you, you are a fool. Only you didn't believe. I know. But now I know that I was a fool. And then you commit the same folly again. Then you say, oops, I did again. Because you have to learn right down to the minutest detail. Nature is unsparing. It says, no. I know you have realized in one part, mind. You have to realize in the heart. You have to realize in the will. You have to realize in the body. Finally, one day say, okay, fine. Done. So, says, into delight, which both our joy and our pain are a convulsive effort of sensation to realize, all death into the immortality, to which both our life and our death are a constant effort of being to return. How beautiful this is. So we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. Chaima.